In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Hey there, this is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for a Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is the prolific prince of power pop, Kurt Baker. He's scheduled to have a new album out on October the 23rd on Wicked Cool Records titled After Party. One of its tracks, Over You, is available now as a digital single. We'll hear some of that first, followed by our interview on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Conversations time in Little Steven's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred, and joining me today is the prolific prince of power pop, Kurt Baker. His new album, After Party, isn't due out on Wicked Cool Records till Friday, October the 23rd, but this week's coolest song in the world, Over You, is a digital single off the album and available now. How are you, Kurt?
I'm doing all right, Manfred, hanging in there. Just, man, you know, living day by day, keeping rocking in some form or another.
Oh, man. Well, that's the big question is, where are you today? Are you still in Madrid?
Yeah, I'm still in Madrid. I've been basically in Spain for the lockdown that we had here, which was one of the strictest lockdowns in the world. So that kind of took place mid-March, and I was back in the States recording this album about a month before that, and I got back, and then so since then I've just been pretty much stuck in Madrid. So here I am.
So this obviously a crazy year. How you mentioned getting back to record the tracks. How are your have your family and friends all remained healthy?
Yeah, luckily, you know, everyone is doing fine. Obviously my buddies back home that recorded on this new record, who all have their own groups and everything, they've had to, you know, deal with a lot of show cancellations as I have here. But you know, we all kept in touch during the strict lockdown. One of the things that really got me by, especially in those first, you know, 2.5 months, because here in Madrid, you really weren't even allowed to leave your house. You could leave your house just for like essential, you know, things like going to the supermarket really was the only thing you could do. So I was stuck in my flat, and I have a pretty small flat, no balcony, no real, you know, way to get out. And so the thing that kind of got me through that for a while was listening to the mixes and everything that Wyatt was working on during March. And so, you know, that was great. And because of that, I kept in touch with all the guys back home. And so that was a positive thing in all the craziness, but everybody's good. So that's good news.
Well, congratulations again on this upcoming album, After Party. And the last few years, you know, we've talked about you being based over there in Madrid. You've been backed by the Kurt Baker Combo. As you mentioned, the new album features a lot of the guys that you worked with before when you were stateside, including Jeff Palmer from The Connection, Chris Rogers from Chris Rogers and the Dirty Gems, as well as your longtime writing buddy Wyatt Funderburk. So why did you do a record with those guys and not the Combo?
Well, it was, you know, for me, it was kind of, it was time to change things up a little bit. After two records with the Combo, you know, I'm very proud of the records that we recorded and released and all the touring that we've done to support those records. And we still continue as a band, you know, and right now it's pretty much impossible to do so, But at that point, yeah, about a year ago, I was really kind of just itching to get back to work collaborating with Wyatt. And mm-hmm. I was on vacation back home in Maine, and he came up for a couple days. And we were saying, you know, let's try and write some songs like we used to do, and maybe we can, you know, get something going again. And so he came up for 4 days, and in 4 days – we had actually written pretty much the whole record. So it was like kind of a magical kind of collaboration. We've always been really lucky to kind of connect on that level and just bang out tunes and that we're really happy with. And so after that, I was kind of like, okay, let's get the guys back together and let's record another album. So I had scheduled a trip back to the States earlier this year and we tracked everything. And it all came together, and yeah, you know, I was thinking it's always good to change things up. This is a change, but it's kind of also, you know, going back to basics, back to where I began with the old band. So that felt really great to get back to work with those guys, and we have a special thing going for sure. So it was great to reignite the flame that we have.
Well, so let's digress here a moment with Wyatt. You mentioned him coming up to Maine. You have to help me out here. I'm thinking maybe does he normally live in Nashville?
That's right. Yeah. So he's a Nashville guy. But you know, since we've been friends, he's often come up to visit me. And I would go down to Nashville too, and when we were working on a brand new beat, you know, about 8 years or so ago, I would go down there often. But he would also come up and visit me. So you know, Wyatt now is almost as much of as a Mainer as any of us are. So he knows all the good spots in Portland where to get the good lobster, the steamed clams, and the Allagash beer. He knows all that stuff. So you know, he's a local like one of us now. So so you know, any chance that I would have to get back to Maine, he would also try to come up. And. And for the past few years, we weren't really working on any songs together. But last summer, we said, okay, let's get back to business. Let's write some tunes.
How do you know Wyatt, and where is Wyatt from originally?
So Wyatt's from Mississippi, and he moved to Nashville to study. And in Nashville, he started a band called Second Saturday. And they were a really great kind of power pop, synth pop group. And I had actually discovered them through kind of a mutual friend between Wyatt and I didn't know Wyatt at the time, but this guy sent me their music and I was blown away. And this was back when I was in a band called The Leftovers. Right. And so I had contacted Wyatt through MySpace. And I said, "Hey, dude, I'm a big fan of your music," and I shared him some of the music with The Leftovers. And he at that time he was like, "Ah, that's cool, you know. Well, whatever, you know." but you know, we stayed in touch, and then The Leftovers put out another record, and he really dug that record a lot. And so it was that kind of started our communication on a more serious level, because mm-hmm. he wanted to book a concert for us in Nashville. So we went down, The Leftovers went down to Nashville, and we hung out with Wyatt, and we had a great night. And that next day we had a big party at his house, and that night we had listened to a bunch of music. We all connected on the same kind of, we had the same influences and everything. So the next day we woke up and we said, hey, why don't we write a song? So we sat down and we wrote two songs, really. Telephone Operator, which was kind of a hit, I guess you'd say, for the Leftovers. And yeah. Then the beginning of a song called She Can Do It All, which was a coolest song years ago on the Underground Garage. So that kind of began the whole thing. And the collaboration worked so well, we decided, you know, once the Leftovers broke up, that it was time to do a record together, and that was Brand New Beat. So, and then more records followed from there.
Well, Wyatt is your brother from another mother. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Totally.
So my notes say that this the new track Over You was produced by Wyatt. Is that right? And did he produce?
That's right.
And so
he produced
the whole album.
Record. Yep.
Yeah. So let me tell you this. So years ago, when Jeff Walls went with the Woggles, when he went from being the band producer to a band member, we told him he better be happy with his pay cut. And he was. He was fine with that. So with Wyatt producing, did he get a pay raise or a pay cut?
Well, I think he got a pay raise this time around, because because, you know, it's, you know, we're all working in music, and he really upped the ante with this one, and he put his heart and soul into the production side of things, the arranging. To me, he's really just almost a genius when it comes down to studio stuff, arranging vocal harmonies and things like this. You know, one of the great moments recording this album was the fact that all of us were together in the same room recording, yeah. You know, with one microphone. So Wyatt would just, you know, tell us our parts, and then we'd sing it. And I couldn't help but think, you know, this guy is, you know, that classic photo of Brian Wilson kind of telling all the Beach Boys what to do during the Pet Sounds session. It was like, yeah. that's Wyatt, you know? So it really felt like that. So, you know, he deserves all the credit when it comes down to the production and the arranging with this new record.
And so, as you mentioned, you recorded this, was it back in February?
Yeah, basically. So there were, like, half the record was done in Nashville with Wyatt, and then also the drums were recorded down there as well with our drummer Craig. And then the rest of the record was recorded up in Maine when I went back, and I was there for about a week, and we got most of the rest of the important stuff recorded there, and it was done kind of, you know, in remote studio style. A lot of tracks actually recorded at my parents' house, which is where I was staying while I was visiting. And it was funny because that ended up actually being the place where we wrote all the songs too. So the songs were recorded on the front porch. They were written and recorded on the front porch in the living room. So it was really cool.
It is cool. Well, tell me about our coolest song. Tell me about Over You. What's the genesis of that, the inspiration for that one?
Right on. Yeah, so that song is one of the songs that Wyatt and I, the idea had been kind of stewing for a while. We had that idea, I think, since the Brand New Beat Play It Cool days, but it had never been finished. And so when we were writing, together last summer, we pulled that out and the idea, and we were able to finish it off. And we're big fans of, you know, groups like, you know, Donny Iris, or a lot of like the early 80s new wave, Donny Iris, you know, AOR bands, album oriented rock. Yeah. So we wanted to do a song that had kind of like this 80s feel to it. And yeah, I'm just saying Donny Iris, but we listen to a lot of Donny Iris. I don't know if there are a lot of people out there that do, but we do. So he was the main influence musically for that one. Of course, The Cars, or, you know, other groups like Nick Gilder, for example, too. And the lyrics, I think it just kind of came out of, you know, everyday emotion that a lot of people feel. You think you're over an ex, but you're not really. And so that's kind of lyrically. It's not about one person per se, but when we sit down to write a song, a lot of times the story or the meaning comes from real things that have happened to us, but other times it's finding, you know, relatable stories that the listener can get behind and have that experience. So yeah, that's kind of the song in a nutshell.
Well, that's a great one. Let's see now, the new album is due out in October. Who knows where you'll be then?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you plan on doing live streams to support its release? I mean, if you're back in Madrid around the time it comes out, would you use the guys in the combo to help support the album? Or
yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. It's everything is so up in the air because, you know, I am going to be coming back to Spain, but it depends on the situation here, and then of course it depends on the situation in the States as well. Originally, the idea was to do a European tour with the guys from the States, so they would come over. And if we can do that, it's probably going to have to be next year in 2021. And then following that, we'd like to do some concerts together in the States, East Coast, Midwest, West Coast. But, you know, we're going to have to wait on that. In terms of live stream, we'll have to figure that out. I know that the combo have always got my back, and we're planning on also doing concerts and performing songs from the album. But I'd like to do a presentation, a promotional, you know, tour of the album with the guys that played on the record. I don't know when that's going to be. It will happen at some point. You know, until then, hopefully we can find some live streaming options. I know during the quarantine that we had here, I was playing some shows on Stage It, which was a lot of fun. That's also an option that I might do. We'll have to just see what happens for the moment. It is all up in the air, unfortunately.
Well, how do you support yourself in Spain when you're not rocking and rolling? Because you mentioned the big, heavy lockdown there and the tours being canceled. What do you do to make ends meet?
Yeah, you know, well, actually, honestly, it's been very, very difficult. I had been teaching guitar classes, some English classes on the side. A lot of those classes got canceled. I was doing some online teaching, which was kind of difficult. But one of the main things that did help me for a while were the Stage It shows. So that was kind of a source of income, because the way that Stage It works, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, a real concert. People buy tickets, and so that was really helpful. But yeah, you know, it's been difficult, and it's actually now it's even harder than it was in March and April. I did have a few concerts this month that I was relying on to, you know, to pay for rent, and those just got canceled. So it's tough, man. It's not an easy time to be a musician, but I don't have another plan. I don't really have a plan B, so I got to just stick this out. I think we all got to stick it out, you know. We're all in this together.
Well, you mentioned when you were recording the album and working on coming up with the material, you were doing that all at your folks' place there in Portland. So your family has always been supportive of your music, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I'm very, very lucky for that. You know, they've since day one. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I've always been able to continue, you know, doing what I do. Is from, you know, the motivation and the support from my family and my friends, you know. So even through these difficult times, you know, financially, even, you know, mentally, when you want to get out of your house, you want to play in front of people, you know, the support from family and friends means a lot.
Well, I saw a post on your Facebook page of your dad reciting some Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah.
Is your dad a frustrated actor?
Well, I mean, my dad continues to stay very active. He's been an actor his entire life.
Okay.
And so, you know, even during the lockdown, he did a variety of different kind of online performances. And now, actually, my dad continues to do some guided tours. I'm not sure how it works now with the social distancing and all, but he's been working in Salem, Massachusetts, doing witch house tours, which is kind of cool, you know. So that's what he does down there. Yeah, he's all over the place when it comes out to acting and history. I get definitely some of the whole performance, you know, vibes from him. I think he's not a musician, but he's a great actor and entertainer. So I definitely look up to him for that.
So the arts, they figure pretty importantly in your formative years then?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my mom is also, she's not a musician either, but her family, they're all painters or sculptors. And my dad is an actor. So, you know, they always encouraged me to get into things like that. And when I was young and discovered the Beatles and showed an interest in music, they were very supportive. They signed me up to play, you know, cello. And then that went to bass. And then, you know, I was getting into rock and roll, so I got a guitar and things like that. And they always, you know, were very supportive of my bands that I formed when I was younger. But yeah, this is a huge thing for us. So it's life, you know, for me and for them. They really continue to encourage me to follow that dream.
Oh, wow. Very, very great. Very cool.
Yeah.
I want us to go out with another track from the upcoming full-length After Party. And this is a special Coolest Conversations radio debut. Nobody
else
played this track yet.
That's awesome.
And thank you. And the tune is Used to Think. And I really love the song, especially the way the backing vocals are worked throughout, the way they come in with different lines and the ooh-bop ditties. I love the harmonica on there, the acoustic guitars, the lyrics about used records and cheap beer. So what's the story on Used to Think? That's one that you and Wyatt wrote together, right?
Yeah. So Wyatt had like just a simple idea. He wanted to do a song that, you know, really just kind of was basically three chords, you know, and he had a first verse that was kind of like, you know, reflecting back on life and things like that. And so I took that idea and wrote some more words thinking about, you know, my life and things like that. And then also, I guess, so the lyrically, that's kind of about, like, you know, reflecting back and then seeing where you are now. And I think a big thing too is, like, you know, we don't really say it, but it's, you know, not, there's no regrets, you know, life is an adventure. So you live and you learn about, you know, so many things. And, but besides
you address that in the song, something about not concerning yourself with the money you've spent over
right,
the years,
exactly.
Whether it's for used records or cheap beer, because it's brought you to the place that you are now.
Right. Which is, you know, being happy and still playing music. So, you know, that's basically what it's all about. It's a feel good song. And from there, musically, we drew from Wyatt and I are huge fans of the Beatles and the Beach Boys. So you can definitely hear that influence in there. Actually, so when we were working on the record, we had the kind of the Beach Boys backup vocals, and that was originally just in the outro. Mm-hmm. And little Steven heard that and he said, "You gotta put that on every part of the song, because that's awesome." So yeah. We're like, "Oh, great!" And then there's like the bridge has a kind of almost a little bit of Rubber Soul Beatles thing going, and so the influences are all right there. We wear them right on our sleeves, and on that track too, it was great to have Jeff come in and play some harmonica, which was really fun. So I think I caught him a little bit by surprise, because he was coming up to my house to do some tracking. I was like, "Bring your harmonica." He's like, okay. And then I was like, "All right, just record some harmonica." But he ended up doing an incredible job on that. So it's a real fun song.
Oh, absolutely. And I love the harmonica, especially. He's just a regular Wally Palmer that way.
He is. Well, maybe they're related. Jeff Palmer, Wally Palmer. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, that's fine.
It could be long.
Thought of that.
It's true.
Kurt, thank you for speaking with me yet again on our Coolest Conversations. It is always such a pleasure to chat and catch up with you.
It's always great. Yes, thank you so much, Manfred.
Now let's take a listen to a Coolest Conversations debut. Here's Used to Think off the upcoming Kurt Baker album After Party here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. To Think. That's the Coolest Conversations debut here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Song included on the upcoming Kurt Baker album, After Party. Due out Friday, October the 23rd on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Kurt for joining me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Next week, I'll speak with Cherie Curry, former frontwoman for the famed all-female 70s band The Runaways. She has a new solo album out now called What Do All the People Know? And it's on her former bandmate Joan Jett's record label, Blackheart Records. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.